everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. It's a beautiful day, and I hope that everybody is enjoying it. I hope everybody is peaceful. I hope everybody is really being thankful for having the opportunity to be alive and breathing and be on the planet, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There are a lot of people out here dealing with a lot of different things, and, you know, we oftentimes get caught up in our own little sphere, our own little world, and, you know, the things that are going on in our own personal lives. But just remember to keep stuff in perspective, because there's a lot of people out here that are going through, I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, so be thankful wherever you find yourself. Just know that it could be worse, and it's going to get better. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jawanza. I've got another fabulous show lined up for you. You know, once a month, everybody, that Dr. Ruby Lathan is a regular on the show. We're so very, very blessed and fortunate to have her as a special guest, because she brings such a wealth of knowledge and information and perspective to our conversations that it's just a joy and a treat for me to have an opportunity to speak with her once a month. And so today we're going to be talking about hidradenitis. I'm going to make sure I'm saying this right. Hidradenitis suppurativa. Just recently found out about this condition, and so I really wanted to, you know, bring somebody else on to talk about it, so we can exhaust it, because there are people out here that are dealing with stuff that you've never heard of before. And again, this falls in that category for me. Again, it's called hidradenitis superativa, or tiva, however you want to pronounce that. But let me tell you a little bit about my special guest today, in case you're tuning in for the very first time. Dr. Ruby Lathan is a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and the joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. She is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. And Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. So you know a little bit about Dr. Lathan, and she's got an awesome, awesome testimony that I would love for her to share for those who are tuning in for the very first time. Again, and you don't know who she is, there are people out here that have actually taken control of their life and actually taken what, let's say, the doctor has given them as a bad report and used it and changed their life as a result of it. There are people out here that go to the doctors every day, and every day somebody's getting a bad report. But these bad reports don't have to be death sentences. They can actually be the beginning of a brand new life, a brand new career, just a brand new you. So without further ado, I want to bring Dr. Lathan on. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much again for being my special guest today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to another great and powerful interview.
It's always good to be here. Yes, and thank you for having me.
Dr. Lathan, again, I mentioned that there are a lot of people that go to the doctors. We're always going to the doctor. If it's not for a checkup, it's because of something. And in many cases, people leave out of the doctor. They might go in with fear and leave out, you know, just totally despondent and depressed, depending on what the doctor tells them. And you actually had a situation in your life that you actually had to go to see a physician and got a bad report. As a result of that report, your whole life changed. Can you talk about that process, what happened and how that brought you to the work that you do now as an advocate for plant-based nutrition and a teacher of holistic living?
Absolutely, absolutely. As you mentioned, a lot of things, you know, can trigger changes for the better, and that's what, you know, happened in, you know, my case. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer several years ago in 2007, and, you know, I had the inclination to try natural methods of treatment, and so I started researching quite a bit and changed my lifestyle, changed my diet, changed to a plant-based whole foods diet. You know, you research supplements that heal the body and reduce stress and basically just turn my life around in a completely different way. I was able to heal the cancer. So for me, you know, I believe things happen for a reason. They're not just happenstance or circumstantial. I think everything, you know, is within our purview of control. So I felt like there was a message here for me, not only just to change my lifestyle, but maybe, you know, change the course of what I was doing to something better. And so that's what I found. You know, after being able to heal myself, I wanted to, you know, help other people on, you know, who take similar journeys and start out with, you know, like I did, at ground zero and having to start from scratch with information. So what I do now is help people, you know, start from, have a partner in their journey of healing, not just cancer, but whatever it might be, and also focus on prevention through a lot of the educational things that I do and the classes and conferences that I put on are really to help people avoid having to go through those things, because that prevention methods are so much stronger than curing things. But I know we have lots of people who are on both sides of that, so it addresses both, you know. So we want to take that ounce of prevention for sure, but we also want to present solutions for healing as well. And it's always good to have somebody who's been there, who knows how that feels to help along the way. And so it's just such a powerful thing that you can pretty much heal most things that we face with diet and lifestyle changes, most things. And sometimes we need, you know, interventions, you know, some traditional interventions and things like that. But the majority of things that we faced in terms of our health and emotions are based on our lifestyle and dietary intake. And so that's why I focus on this area, because it's so powerful. It is the base. It's the base. It's like if you can get your nutrition right and your stress right and your outlook right, most things are going to work out for you in one way or the other. Whether you have to, you know, go on some long healing journey or not, you're still going to work out better if you have those things in order. And so even with the condition we're going to talk about tonight, those things are key in dealing with that issue as well. So it's, you know, I'm happy to be able to use my experience and to help other people. You know, when I was going through it, I felt early on that it was for a reason and it wasn't just because, you know, because of the way that it was found out. And it was just very unlikely, you know. I happened to, you know, had a great doctor who was paying attention to things, but most likely for most people it would have been missed, and I feel like it wasn't missed so that I could be that help for other folks. So,
you know, I think that, and we'll tell people during the course of the show how they can get in contact with you, because when people are going through the what it is that the process, once they go from that initial getting the report from the doctor, and then even after they do the research, if they decide that they're going to research it and not go the allopathic way, but they're just going to research it and then try an alternative, hopefully holistic health, that everybody needs a Dr. Lathan in their life. You know, everybody needs that person that they can, you know, that's going to be supportive, that's going to help them, that's going to show them, that's going to take them by the hand. And, you know, you do that and you coach people. And, again, we'll tell people how they can get in contact with you during the course of the show. And, again, this is not just if you've been diagnosed with cancer. This could be, you may have had a stroke, or you may have diabetes or arthritis or high blood pressure or whatever the case is. You got to have somebody in your life. Because in many cases, if you don't grow up in a holistic health home or a home where they're practicing holistic health, or your circle of friends does not include vegans, you know, then you might be met with opposition when you tell people that, you know, that's the route you're going to go. So you're definitely going to have somebody like a Dr. Lathan in your corner. Doctor, I'd like to ask you this before we get into the topic of tonight, hidradenitis suppurativa. How long has it been now for you since you've been cancer-free?
It's over 8 years now. Yeah, I lose count. So, yeah, so it's yeah, almost nine years. So it's been a while. And going well. Mm-hmm.
I know that it's got to blow your mind. I know that if it was me, had that happened to me, it could have been 20 years later and, you know, still cancer-free, and I'd still be waking up thinking to myself, wow, did I really cure cancer? You know, I mean, because at one point in our evolution as in this country, and, you know, just medically, just talking about with medical journals and stuff, I mean, there's still – it's still not uncommon to hear people talking about, you know, when we find a cure for cancer, or, you know, that, you know, as though it hasn't been cured. I mean, and so I know that it would blow my mind 10 years, 20 years later, I'd still be asking myself, did I really do that? Did I cure cancer? And I know it had to initially blow you away, the fact that, wow, I cured cancer. I mean, do you still get those moments where it really hits you that you actually cured cancer?
That's a good question. I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that. No, you know, because I work in this area, you know, for, you know, like every day working on different health conditions with people and things like that. So it's not until someone asks me how long it's been, you know, I really don't think about it that way, but that's a good point. So I should probably take more time to pause about that.
Should. I mean, because they're still writing medical journals, you know, and they're still doing research, you know.
Yeah, you know what does come up is when I hear misinformation and false information about cancer and about things, and that's when I do have a reaction, and my reaction is usually annoyance and really wanting to work that much harder to get the information out there when I hear, you know, there's no cure for this, or we're spending millions of dollars on, you know, looking for how to heal a particular type of cancer, and everybody's in their little enclaves working on particular types of cancer cures and all this, and, you know, hopefully they'll find something that's helpful, but, you know, if we could just take, you know, 1% of the money that's being used to, quote, search for cures and actually just look at it and invest it into what we already know that works from people like me and other folks who have done many dietary studies and focus there and educated people about that, we would have, you know, a thousandfold return on that. But so, you know, it's going to take people like, you know, you and me and grassroots effort to get this information out to people because the machine of the whole industry is so strong. There's no turning back now because they're not going to break down a multi-billion dollar industry to tell people to eat well, eat fruits, eat vegetables, reduce your stress, you know, don't, you know, eat chemicals and, you know, things like that, and, you know, don't use your microwave, you know, natural stuff that doesn't cost anything, to go garden, eat natural foods, exercise, you know, all that stuff is free. So it's going to be purely grassroots in shifting this, and it's happening slowly, but there's always going to be another you know, red herring that they throw out there to get the focus off of the real issue. So that always brings it to light and just gets me more motivated to expose truth that, you know, your health is in your hands 110%, and you don't have to be dependent on medications and surgeries and at the mercy of whether you have insurance or not.
That's so powerful, because I think a lot of times that whole insurance piece, that's a whole nother show, you know, that's a whole nother show.
It is.
We'll do that show. Do that show. But again, everybody, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you have a question, all you have to do is just press 1 and let it be known from the outset that, you know, yes, Dr. Lathan cured herself of cancer, but you're going to cure you. Okay, of whatever your condition is. Dr. Lathan is a coach. She can tell you what to do. We're not endorsing a particular product here to say that if you buy this product is going to cure you. No, Dr. Lathan will show you and coach you and, you know, direct you and point you in the right direction. And if you follow those instructions, then you will cure you. Okay, so, and that's a whatever it is. So, again, on to the show. Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about hidradenitis suppurativa. I'm going to say tiva. It could be tiva, but I'll say tiva. Again, it came to my attention. I had never even heard of this condition prior to maybe 3 weeks ago. Somebody brought it to my attention, and I said, okay, we'll do some shows on it. So, Doc, what is it? I mean, you've I'm sure looked at it, and what is this condition that I've never heard of before 3 weeks ago? Hidradenitis suppurativa. What's going on when somebody gets that?
Yeah, it's a really long name, for sure. But basically, it is inflammation or boils that can term it as skin. You know, if you look it up, they're going to say it's a skin disorder, and that's really not accurate, but that's how it's termed. And so they'll send you to a dermatologist and everything, but that's really not the cause. That's how it's showing up as boils, as pimples on the skin, and then they become very large, inflamed boils in particular areas, usually under the arm, places where we have friction. So under the arm, under the breast, between the legs and the groin area, that's where it strikes. And those are also areas where we have lots of lymph nodes as well. So that right there gives you a clue as to what the real problem is, where it's not really a skin condition at all. It is just showing up via the skin because it's trying to basically release things that are not getting released, and it's doing that, you know, via the skin because it's becoming inflamed. So, but it's termed a chronic skin condition that's inflammatory, basically, and characterized by starting out as maybe small pimples or blackheads and then getting larger and usually painful to deal with. And then usually also there's an odor because there's infection, and also there's pus there, and so it starts to drain as well. And a lot of times that draining brings some relief because it hurts, but it's also very unpleasant because it smells. And so it causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, a lot of embarrassment and depression, because, of course, if you have a painful boil, depending on where it is, it might hurt to sit, hurt to move your arms, you know, hurt to wear a bra, all types of different things. So it's a very unpleasant condition. But there's good news because it can be treated naturally. And some of and I'll pause there because I don't want to jump too far ahead. But that's what it is. It's a kind of an inflammatory skin condition characterized by boils.
Okay, I see the phones are lighting up. More people are tuning in, checking in. So if you have a question for Dr. Lathan, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening on your cell phone, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I can bring you on. Or if you're been listening on your house phone or whatever, just press 1, I'll bring you on. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. My special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. We're talking about hidradenitis suppurativa, and again, just press 1 if you have a question. You know, I noticed from my research that it's been associated with arthritis, obesity, severe acne, inflammatory bowel syndrome. Could you talk about risk factors, doctor? I mean, because, again, when you think about it, I mean, I wouldn't think that acne and arthritis would be in the same, even in the same conversation, you know, but that was one of the things that I noticed that they had associated with hydrogenitis paratype. I don't know where they got the list from, but could you talk about risk factors and what would predispose a person to a condition like this?
Yeah, there's a lot of, conjecture about it, but there's really not anything that's clear. There are risk factors, you know, obesity being one, and smoking also is, two of those are the high risk factors for it. Generally, they're saying that it is, you know, the clogging of hair follicles and other follicles that cause this, and then that drainage that should be coming out, then it gets clogged and causes infection and more pus develops, and then you have this boil. That's, you know, supposedly, you know, what happens. I mean, that's kind of the, really the symptom of what has happened. And so, but there's no explanation as to how that follicle got clogged in the first place. There's no explanation of that. So they really, you know, the thought is that no one really, really knows what causes it. So there are other things, you know, hormonal things, because a lot of people, and it's mostly women experience this. Men do too, but it's more prevalent in women, especially during cycles and through their menstrual cycle, that'll flare up. And things like that. So to me, all those give us clues as to what's really going on, that it's not just simply, hair follicles getting clogged, because it often happens symmetrically, like under both arms or both breasts or on both sides of the groin. So it really wouldn't make sense if it was just, you know, happenstance of a follicle being clogged, that it would happen so symmetrically. So there's not a whole lot of you know, risk factors, except, you know, that's in terms of the clinical sense, but we do know the risk factors are things like eating lots of processed food, lots of junk food, lots of red meat, lots of dairy, because all of those things are highly inflammatory. So those in and of themselves are risk factors. But if you're looking at, you know, traditional sites and information, you're not going to find that. You're going to find, you know, smoking and obesity and hair follicles and keeping your areas clean. But that's really not the main risk. The primary risk is when we're somewhat sedentary and our lymphatic system is not draining properly, is really kind of the root cause of it. And that happens for a number of reasons as to why we wouldn't have proper drainage of our lymphatic systems. As you notice, as I was mentioning, all of these boils usually occur around where we have lots of lymph nodes, where drainage should be occurring, and it's not. So basically, it's, you know, the body is responding, it's getting clogged because it's not moving things out as it should. And that inflammation can come from a number of things, you know, starting with diet, not having enough water, not exercising enough, all of those things, and then just having an overload of toxins in the body as well, and sugars, so that the body is not able to clear things out, and then also infections tend to grow and causing that pus and things like that to build up. Whereas if you have a more healthy system, you know, sometimes you can keep it at bay and turn it, the pimple that starts doesn't have to turn into an infected boil. And so some of the treatments are going to be the traditional, you know, Western medicine treatments are often antibiotics and surgery, so, or either steroids to reduce the inflammation. And we know those are just treating the symptoms. I mean, sometimes the antibiotics are good because it, you know, can kill the infection and keep it from, you know, getting more painful and worse, but that's not treating the cause of it. Mm-hmm. But it can be beneficial early on if you catch it right away, but there's a lot of other things you can do besides antibiotics if you catch it early as well, before it, you know, develops into a full-blown boil. But even then, there are things you can do. So the risk factors are general, you know. So we know keeping your proper weight and not smoking are like rules for overall health, period, for almost anything. You're going to set yourself up for avoiding so many illnesses by just doing those two things. I mean, no one should be smoking. I mean, that's just like in 2000, what year are we, 17? We know that it kills, so there's no point in that. But also, you know, that body weight thing is huge, and because weight carries excess toxins and it overwhelms the body. So the body has to work harder to do the same job it would be doing if you were your proper weight. So because it has to expend that extra energy to get blood flow to all that extra cells and everything, it doesn't have the same amount of energy to heal the body. So you're taking resources from the healing process just to keep your body functioning, which is why obesity is a foundational cause of so many other diseases, including this one.
Could you talk for a moment, Doctor? You mentioned the lymphs, the areas where the boils show up look like these are areas where there would be sweat glands. You know, you're gonna sweat under your arms. You know, you might sweat between your legs. You know, you might sweat where these different places are. Could you talk about, as you talk about the lymphs, the even just detoxing, you know, and just the role that detoxing, which I'm sure would be a primary role, but if we could just explore that for a second, just in how you talked about, I believe, was the skin being the one of the biggest organs, if not the biggest organ of elimination, and how even through sweating, which would involve the lymph nodes, correct?
Right, absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm just
finished here.
All of detoxing and the lymphs and sweating and the role that all of that plays together in combating this condition.
Sure. So proper drainage of the lymph system is really important. So there usually we're going to get that, you know, through just movement helps with that. So that's going to be one thing. Exercise, you know, getting the heart rate up is one way that facilitates the lymph system to drain properly. For women, making sure you're not sleeping in bras and things like that, because that constricts the lymphatic system, and so also not wearing it too tight, you know, during the day. So you can assist the lymph system by actual massage under the arms and in those areas, all of those. So doing massage in the groin area, doing it under the arms, you know, armpits, all of that, where you can actually feel that, even you know, near your ear. And your neck, you can usually, you know, sometimes you can feel those are inflamed, but you can gently massage those areas to assist in lymphatic drainage. Another thing that helps with that is rebounding, and that is a trampoline. It's a mini trampoline, but it's called a rebounder because it's, you know, there are several types of rebounders and some are better than others. But basically, just the actual act of jumping up and down helps your, on a trampoline, helps the lymphatic system tremendously with the drainage process. And so they've done lots of studies on that with the way the coils are made for these rebounders, you know, assist even greater types of drainage, but any of the rebounding is going to be really beneficial. It's going to get your heart rate up, and it's going to cause your system to drain properly. So doing stretching and things like yoga and holding those poses, extended poses, really does help the system drain as well. And so that movement, the up and down, the stretching, all of those things, that the mini poses you do in yoga, are really extremely helpful for helping the lymphatic system drain. And then getting therapeutic massage is another way to help the drainage of that, and it helps reduce stress and a lot of other things. So there are a lot of ways to assist your body in doing that, and those are the physical ways that you can definitely do it. And then there are other ways you can do it with cleanses as well. I mean, you really want to take both approaches because, you know, with the system, I mean, it works better if you're also doing physical things to get your system to work as it should, because the body's meant to move, and also doing ingesting things that helps the lymphatic system be in its optimal state.
Well, let's take one of the risk factors and explore it a bit. You've mentioned, you know, smoking. We don't have to deal with that because we know, like you mentioned, that that's going to cause a host of other problems. I mean, you know, that's clear. It's on the pack. You know, it's on the pack. Warning, you know. But you mentioned obesity. Now, what if, you take somebody that comes from a family of large people? You know, they – now, it, or it's – well, let's deal with this. Which is obesity – hereditary? Is that something that, you know, because somebody might say, well, I come from a large family. Everybody in my family is large. What would your take be on your answer to that be first? Is obesity hereditary? Is that something that you can be born, I mean, when you're born, you're predisposed to carry more weight than others?
Yes and no. So the majority of people, that's going to be a no. So, but there are, you know, some growth disorders and, you know, babies that are born really, really chubby and grow, you know, a little bit abnormally big. That happens, but that's very small and rare. Now, there is some indication that the diet of the mother during pregnancy can have some effect on the propensity for obesity of the child, so that does weigh in, but it is not an overwhelming contribution that you're just destined to be overweight. Usually when people are in families and everyone's overweight, it's because everyone's eating the same food and same habits and same all of that. I've seen, you know, lots of, you know, families where everyone's big and then there's one child that's slim, and they're, and you watch what they eat, they're eating differently or they're much more active. You know, while they're in their younger years, the kids are all skinny because they're running around and they're doing everything, and then they hit that puberty and stop being active, and suddenly they start looking like everybody else in the family. And that's not hereditary. That really is lifestyle and dietary habits and patterns that are the reason that everybody has the same issue. And it's not just because, oh, our family's just big. No, your family, that may be true, but there's a reason. And usually it's because you're just sharing the same dietary and lifestyle patterns.
You know, Doctor, you mentioned in the when you were giving your testimony that once you had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, that you made some lifestyle changes. You know, you changed your lifestyle. And I think that when it comes to people and making changes in our lives, we don't like to disrupt our lives. You know, we don't, we've been living a certain way for a long time, you know, and we don't necessarily like to have our routines changed. But if you've been diagnosed with something, you know, something the doctor says is chronic, and they're either want to, you know, operate on you, perform surgery, or they're saying that this is, you got 6 weeks to live, or, you know, something of that nature, it's going to be required, if you're going to go the holistic route, that there are going to be some changes to your whole lifestyle that are going to have to be made, not just, oh, maybe I need to, you know, do 10 sit-ups every morning. You might have to do more than that. Could you talk about lifestyle change and how your willingness to change your lifestyle helped you to actually change the diagnosis?
Sure. I mean, that was a big part of it, just learning about that. I mean, when we're talking about, I've looked back over the years and I realized how many of these maladies that I had before I changed my lifestyle. So there's another very similar issue called pilonidal cysts that are almost the same as this as HS, I'm going to call it. Like, I have to look at the name to say hydrogenitis. Yes, there's a lot.
Okay.
It's very similar. Pilonidal cysts are very similar to that in that they're boils that get infected and are very painful and you have to get it drained and all of this thing. And I used to suffer with those before I switched to a whole food plant-based diet. And I remember going through this whole process the first time I got it. I was like, why is this happening? I had one right under the armpit, and so you drained it, and then there was one right at the base of the tailbone that was excruciatingly painful. And so when I talked to the doctor about it, he's like, oh, this just happens. You know, when it happens, you can either take antibiotics. If that doesn't work, just come back to me, and I'll drain it. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a plan. That sounds like a terrible plan that I would have to just live with this. Are you kidding me? And they gave me the storyline of this is just, you know, something happens, a hair follicle. I was like, so you're telling me there's just a hair follicle at the base of my butt, basically,
tailbone,
that
right?
just continues. Yeah, tailbone, thank you. But that continues to just get infected. And they're like, we can do surgery, but it's likely it'll come back. You know, we can take out that whole drainage system right there. It's going to leave a little indention. And so I'm going to just start slicing my body to take, you know, pieces out that get inflamed. I was like, that doesn't make sense. And so what I realized that once I started exercising and eating better and drinking more water, it went away without any of these extraordinary things, and stopped eating dairy, all those things that cause inflammation in the body, those things go away. And so I just, you know, was kind of amazed because the procedures that they were telling me, you know, just basically very painful and don't get to the root cause. And so I'm looking at them like, this can't be it. I'm like shocked. And so I know for a time for me, you know, things like antibiotics right when you started getting these little feeling the pain helped because it keeps it from infection. But what I later learned, you know, after changing lifestyle, that it's all a system. So we have to treat our system for everything. So, you know, the lifestyle change was definitely the way I was eating and being willing to maybe take away some of the conveniences of microwave processed food that I was used to doing because, you know, on the go, on the run, that was the quickest, easiest thing. So I was willing to make that lifestyle change, willing to take the time to meditate and, you know, visualize, take the time to breathe on purpose, doing deep breathing, you know, just taking the time to make life and diet a priority so that I can live healthy because we, you know, we get on this treadmill where we don't have time for anything. We just got to work, 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 work. And then that is so imbalanced and it makes no sense until, you know, then we start breaking down and then we have to stop. Then we're flat on our back or unable to sit for whatever reason because we're in pain, and then we started, you know, taking charge of things. When if we get imbalance in the first place, you know, we can avoid this. So that's why I take a holistic approach in terms of the way we're feeling and how we're processing our emotions, because a lot of times when you're dealing with things getting clogged and stuck, that emotionally, usually there's something to do with that as well. What are we holding on to? What yucky stuff have we not let go in our life that is manifesting in a boil? And that happened repeatedly. It's saying we're not letting that go because that's what's happening, you know, from an emotional standpoint, that we probably, if we sat down and start thinking about, you know, how we're feeling and what's going on in our lives or what's gone in the past, what memory is replaying that we haven't let go that is festering and causing us emotional pain the same way this boil is. And that is what I had to realize and recognize, that you cannot stuff emotions, you cannot put them away, you cannot act like they're not there. You have to deal with stuff. You have to deal with it, acknowledge it, voice it, alleviate it, correct it, and move on. You cannot stuff it away and act like you're just going to be okay. That was a huge part of the lifestyle change, because what has happened from, you know, the person I used to be was someone a lot less forward and was someone who didn't really speak out and talk about issues that came up. I would just kind of suck it up. And then that manifested in the thyroid growing larger than it should be and a lot of other things. So, you know, because that then affects the vocal cords. And so I was like, I realized how the relationships and issues in my life that I wasn't dealing with were manifesting. And the same thing with, you know, the boils that I was getting, things that were not, had not been released. And so I became a much more vocal person, much more outspoken, and don't take a lot of crap anymore, because I realized that was a lifestyle change I needed to make. And it feels a lot better, honestly. It just feels a lot freer. So that's one thing that people will need to be willing to, is to delve into sometimes those painful emotional issues. And usually people that I coach and work with who don't have success are not really willing to go there emotionally and deal with and do what they need to do, whether that's seeing a, you know, a counselor, psychologist, or whomever, because I can only do so much. You know, I like to stay in my lane. You know, I recommend you see someone to deal with this. I can give you pointers on what to do, but those people who aren't willing to do that often don't have the full success that they would have if they did, because, you know, emotions are oftentimes the root cause of the issue of causing the reason we're not, you know, we're not experiencing relief from whatever it is. That's part of the root cause. And then we have the other things that we do, you know, with the processed food and the dairy products and sugar, which definitely clogs the lymphatic system and things like that, that go along with it. And we do the things that we try to relieve that pain by eating those type of foods because it makes us feel better. So instead of dealing with the issue, what we'll do, we'll go have some ice cream. When we start feeling that painful emotion coming up, instead of dealing with it, we'll deflect and have, you know, some other, you know, junk food. And so you're working to sabotage yourself unknowingly, because then those foods are going to cause the boils to pop up and, you know, on and on and on. So being willing to make whatever change you need to make is key.
Could you talk about a support group, Doc, a support system, shall I say, because, again, making a lifestyle change, you know, you need all the, it's tough enough just even doing it because you know that the doctor says that, you know, you've got such and such and you don't want to go the allopathic way. I mean, just that alone is motivation, but it still might not be the easiest thing to do if when you go home you have a family and you've got to cook for the family, you know. And let's say, for example, the family that you're cooking for aren't children, I mean, you know, infants or whatever, where you can say, okay, well, this is what we're eating tonight, okay? But let's say, for example, you have a husband who's not a vegetarian or a vegan, or you've got two grown children in the house that you cook for, but they're not vegan, you know. Could you just talk about the importance of, and how would you deal with that, first of all? Let's say, for example, that was the issue. You had a situation where you wanted to make the changes. The doctor said you had this and that and the other, and you heard this show, and you're like, I'm going vegan. But you got to cook for everybody in the house. I mean, and they're not trying to go vegan.
This is when you have to put on the me first hat and be like, I'm going to do what I have to do to save myself first, just like you put your mask on yourself first before you help somebody else. So you have to, you know, first you got to stand up for yourself and know how far you can go. If you're going to be the person who's going to cook two meals for yourself and then one for the family, more power to you if that works for you. However, I would not suggest that, because once you learn why you're making the change that you're making, why would you want to continue feeding your family something that is down the road going to get them where you are? So we have to slowly educate the people around us, but definitely put ourselves as a priority and say, even if I have, quote, have to, because you don't have to do anything. That was a realization for me. I don't have to do anything. You know, you decide what you're going to do every day. You decide and you do it. So I would say, put on your me first hat, because without you, if you're not around, if you're not feeling good, if you're flat on your back because you can't, you know, move and you're in pain and all of these things, you can't help your family. So nobody's going to be cooking. So first, you know, decide you're important enough to make this change no matter what. That's number one. No matter what kind of resistance you're going to get from husband, wife, or kids, mm-hmm. or family, whomever you're in charge of taking care of, that's number one. And then decide how far you're going to go to make this effort. If it's going to be, I'm bringing the family along and we're cooking new, and you guys can eat it or not, but this is what we're making tonight. I'm being the best parent spouse I can be by helping you along this path. I mean, that's to me makes more sense. But I understand, you know, some people aren't ready to take that stance. But when you start surrounding yourself with people who are doing it so that you can get the help, so that you can make the food taste good and, you know, make it more of a joy, especially if you have children who are, you know, younger kids, I'm like, you're the parent, you're in charge, you don't even announce the change, you just make the changes. You know, older kids, you can get them to help, you know, make some of this food with you. Your spouse should love you enough to understand and pitch in. If they don't, that's a whole nother issue. That could be the root cause of some of the boils to popping up in the first place. So we have to deal with that. So I would say, you know, be ready, decide what you're going to do, and stand your ground and know that, you know, your health is most important first, because you're not going to be around or healthy for everyone else you love and care for if you're not feeling good about your life and what you're doing. So you have to make that decision. And once you make that decision, everything else becomes easier. Then you can talk about techniques to get the family coming along with you on the path. But the main thing is making a decision and then getting the support from, you know, there are groups, there are cooking classes, there are online support, there are, you know, people you can meet, you know, in person who've been doing this, you know, at health clubs. When you start dealing with people who are holistic, there's a whole communities in every city that you can connect with, so that you're not alone on this whole journey. And so I think that's important, connecting with someone in that arena that can then connect you with other people is very, very important. And then you just take it from there. And then you slowly, you know, start changing what you're buying. You know, the thing is, if you are the person who's cooking the food and buying the food, why would you keep bringing in junk and saying, oh, this is for the kids, I'm just going to slowly poison my kids, but not for me anymore? You know, so
right.
Once you learn, then everything changes. So eventually your household will come along with you, whether it's willingly or kicking and screaming. They're going to come along because they love you and care about you too, and we don't want to wait until you're, like, incapacitated to start making the changes.
You know, Doctor, if you could talk about meat and dairy, because there are a lot of people out here that know, they've heard the term vegan and they've heard the term vegetarian, and, you know, for a lot of people, they've heard that being vegan or vegetarian is better or healthier than eating meat. But in many cases, they might not have known why it's healthier. When a person mm-hmm. ingests meat and dairy, could you give it to us straight? What is happening in the body? What's wrong with eating meat and dairy?
Sure. Well, we can start with dairy because a lot of people don't see anything issue with drinking milk and cheese and all these things that they tell us are healthy. It is an inflammatory, mucus-forming food, which dealing with things like cysts and all of the things that we're talking about is a main cause for this mucus-forming inflammatory foods. They clog the lymphatic system, which is the core root problem of why we have these conditions. So that's going to be number one. Milk and all of its products are inflammatory for humans because it's meant for baby cows and it's meant for them to grow very fast. So in humans, it doesn't work, which is why we're lactose intolerant, because we don't have the enzymes to break it down because we're now adults and we're not nursing calves. So it doesn't agree with us, and it causes quite a few issues, from, you know, leaching the body of calcium and linked to prostate cancers and other cancers, and just weight gain because either has a lot of fat or a lot of sugar or both, and that's, again, so that a baby cow can grow very fast. It is not human food. So it doesn't work for us. That's one thing. It causes inflammation in the system. Even if you don't get, issues when you eat dairy, it's still causing inflammation in the body. Meat is very hard for the body to break down. It's not a necessary food at all. It's not really a food. It causes, it has some macronutrients like your protein and things like that, but it is bereft or absent of the phytochemicals and antioxidants that actually heal the body. It has zero fiber, which also heals the body, which is very key in being able to drain your system and keep your system very clean, is we need lots of fiber. Meat and dairy have zero fiber, but they have cholesterol, saturated fats, that are not good for the body, that also clog our arteries. And basically, it's just a clogging food in general. It's very hard to get out of our digestive tract. So it causes, all these other irritable bowel syndromes and things like that because, our system isn't processing it properly. Also, we get excess hormones and other things from meat that we don't need. In addition to, especially if it's factory farmed, you're getting growth hormones and antibiotics, which is very bad for the system as well. So it's just causing lots of inflammation, lots of problem, with very few benefits except those macronutrients, which you can get from fruits and vegetables. For example, if you're eating a cup of beans versus a steak, you're going to get about the same amount of protein, but the beans are going to have fiber, antioxidants, phytonutrients, all those things that are very healing. And so they're going to go through your system, take out free radicals, take out garbage, and make you expel this very quickly, the fiber, and absorb what you need and get it out. The meat, on the other hand, only has those macronutrients and none of those other healing properties, but now your body has to deal with the toxins of that, and hopefully you ate enough other fiber-rich foods to get it out of your system in a timely manner. And if you didn't and you're sedentary, it's just sitting there rotting and reabsorbing into your blood flow. And so that's why a plant-based diet is so effective. So if people are, dealing, with this issue of hydrogenitis, one of the quickest ways to alleviate it would, number one, would be consider doing, a juice fast or a raw food fast or a juice and smoothie fast, because that is going to unclog you. That is going to help you get a lot of things that might be sitting in your digestive tract out. And you can also supplement that with herbs that help you go to the restroom. Like there's teas you can take, like Smooth Move or other herbals, that while you're doing a fast like that, you're going to be releasing toxins quite a bit. So that, to me, that would be the, if it were me and I had that condition, the first thing I would do would be a juice fast. Now, if you've never done a vegetable juice fast, you could do a smoothie and raw foods fast, where you're eating lots of salads, you're eating lots of smoothies, you're eating a lot of vegetables, and that's it. If that's too extreme for you, you could just simply do a plant-based diet, a whole food diet. If you're someone who's been eating lots of meat, lots of dairy, lots of junk, just switching to vegan diet is going to be huge, even without doing the fast, which will also help you release the toxins, because you'll eat, everything you eat will have fiber in it. Everything you eat will have nutrients and things that heal the body. And drinking, obviously, enough water is going to be extremely, extremely important. So the reason, just to answer your question more succinctly, the reason that a plant-based diet or vegan vegetarian diet is so much healthier than a meat-based diet is because of the amounts of fruits and vegetables and whole grains that you're eating. All of those foods are healing versus meat and dairy that are not healing. They don't have healing properties to them. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, whole grains, those have healing properties in them. So basically, when you're on a healthy plant-based diet, whole food, everything you're eating is helping your body. When you're on a meat-based fast food diet, most of what you're eating is hindering it, and then is hurting your body, and then you're throwing in a few salads and a few pieces of fruit, hoping that's enough, and it is far from enough. And so that's the difference.
You know, Doctor, I wish I had much, much, much more time to talk to you because this is so interesting. I want to tell everybody about the Veggie Chest and how they can get in contact with you. But before we go, could you talk about the microwave? Because I spoke to somebody recently, and they equated the microwave to, well, basically said that if you cook your food, actually, above a particular temperature, that in and of itself would be, I guess, just as harmful as microwaving the food, because that the nutrients in the food, once cooked above this particular temperature, whatever that temperature is, it's no longer raw, and then therefore that the nutrients are all gone. And I thought, you know, I had always been under the impression that, hey, you know, I don't fool with the microwave personally, you know what I mean? I don't use it for anything. I don't even have one. But the person was basically saying that, you could use it to heat water or something. But what's your take on the microwave?
I wouldn't use it to heat any water that I'm going to consume. I would use it to heat nothing that is going in my body. You can use it to heat a warm compress. That's about it. The microwave heats food abnormally high. So what happens anytime you heat food above 100 and about 18 degrees, it's no longer raw and you begin to kill the enzymes. Enzymes are very important because they're like the activators and help break down the food. When you don't have that, your body uses a whole lot of more energy to do that. So that's why the raw food diets and eating fresh, uncooked fruits and vegetables are very healthy for you, more salads, more smoothies like that. So once you cook food, even just regular cooking, you're killing off the enzymes if it's 120. So anytime it's like starting to boil, you're killing the enzymes, and the longer you do it, the more you kill. And then you start killing some of the vitamins and minerals, not all of them, if you're doing it at a relatively moderate heat. So basically you are just taking away some of the nutrition from the food the more it's cooked. So, you know, the more we bake and broil and all that stuff, you're taking away some of the nutrients. The microwave takes it to another level of heating it at a abnormally high temperature. So it activates, the reason it works so fast is because it activates the cells in the food and they start knocking against each other very violently and very quickly, causing it to heat very fast. But while it's knocking against each other at that unnatural rate, it is changing the structure of the food into something that is now unhealthy. Not only are the nutrients gone, now we've created a carcinogenic food. So it's more dangerous than just, you know, having your oven on high, because that is changing the structure because it's activating those things so fast. And so usually with meat products, it changes it to a carcinogen. It does not do so much so with vegetables. It still makes it very unhealthy and potentially carcinogenic food. But meat products, even cooked on high heat, char-broiled, they become cancer-causing foods when they're at those high heat. So when you are eating it, you can't, you know, blacken it, because now it's a cancer-causing food when you do that. What's interesting is when you blacken a bell pepper, it is not a cancer-causing food. You've just killed the nutrients. So there's a difference between killing the nutrients and making it cancer-causing. So you don't want to do either, but I would rather just have a dead food than a food that's going to kill me. So that's the difference. So the microwave is off the table. It should never be used. I mean, there's so many studies that show how it takes away the nutrients and changes, you know, normal food into very, very, very unhealthy food. So I use it for nothing, and I'd recommend people not to use it and get a toaster oven, change the way you cook. You know, I use a really great cookware that I do demos for that cooks only at medium to low heat, but in half the time. So I do those demos for folks all the time. So there are ways to get around it. Again, it's that changing the mindset.
Dr. Lathan, I mean, this is such powerful, powerful information, and I know people want to know about the Veggie Chest. People might be making the transition.
Sure.
They're like, okay, I want to go vegan, but I don't know what to eat.
Right. There are, just so you know, people need to, there are levels to this. So, you know, there's you know, just eating plant-based whole food. There's eating raw. There's eating all kinds of things. But, you know, just take it step by step and don't get overwhelmed. You can go to my website at rubylathan.com. And you'll see the videos there, or you can just go to YouTube and type in The Veggie Chest or Veggie Chest, and my name, Ruby, and it'll pop up with all my videos right there showing you how to make really healthy whole foods that taste good. So that's definitely a resource. And for people in the Baltimore area in April 29th, we'll be doing another Holistic Health Summit in Baltimore. It's a full day, and you can go to my website and you'll find information about that as well. But introducing you to this whole holistic lifestyle, and you'll be connected with other people who are on the same path. So that's something you might want to put on your calendar if you're in the Baltimore, D.C. area to attend, because it's going to be phenomenal. It's a life-changing event. I get that all the time. We've had, this is the third year of our eighth conference, because we have multiples each year. So I'm excited about it, so I definitely recommend that.
You know, Dr. Layton, I just encourage everybody that's listening, if you have HS, hidradenitis suppurativa, or anything, mm-hmm. I don't care what it is, give Dr. Layton a contact. Contact her. She changed her lifestyle and changed her life, changed her condition. You can do the exact same thing. Doctor, I wish I just had more time, but I know I don't want to beat up on
you. I know we have to go. Yeah, and I just want people to know it's curable. Like I said, I didn't have this particular diagnosis, but pilonidal cysts are almost exactly the same, and I have not had a single one since I changed my lifestyle. So just to know that this is 100% curable. Surgery is not the way. Steroids and antibiotics are not the way either. It is going to start with diet and mindset, and you can make the change.
Doctor, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Again, everybody, she's a regular on Juwanza for Life. She comes on once a month, and we talk about a different aspect of holistic health. I'm sure this information is, if you listen and you give her a call, she can instruct you, but you're going to heal yourself, okay? We're not anything. Just give her a contact. Again, she coaches people. She'll hold you by the hand and walk you through it, but you got to contact her. Take the first step.
Yeah,
give
and I don't
call.
Think I actually said my website. So that is, it's rubylathan.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And I can be reached at 202-709-7829.
One more time for the phone number, Doc.
Sure. 202-709-7829.
Awesome. Dr. Layton, thank you so much. I pray that God continues to open doors for you. Thank you so much for being my guest. It's always a pleasure. You bring such knowledge, such information in your own unique, powerful way. And I'm sure that your phone should be lighting up tomorrow. Give her a call first thing in the morning. Tell her Juwanza sent you. Everybody, thank you so
All
much.
Right.
Doctor,
absolutely.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Peace and blessings. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Layton. Again, please make it a point to give her a call. I mean, this is one of those situations where you can change your life. You can change your life. You didn't hear this show by accident. You know, it wasn't by accident or coincidence. It was either for you or it was for somebody that you know. I have an announcement to make, okay? If you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, and you're going to be in the Richmond, Virginia area tomorrow, Hekshemsu Heru Sekhemayab Neter Sekusiman is going to be doing a workshop on the fundamentals of meditation. They're going to be specifically talking about script writing, okay? He's actually doing a series of lectures every Friday. I think this is like the third Friday. Tomorrow will be the third Friday. The next one will be on February the 24th and March the 3rd, and that's going to be at the Powhatan Hill Community Center, and that's the East End, and that's going to be at 5051 Hampton Street, North Hampton Street, Northampton Street, and that's going to be off Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia. That's 23231, in case you need to MapQuest it. Again, that's going to be tomorrow, Friday, and for the next two Fridays following that, from 7 to 9 p.m., it's free, Okay, and they're going to be talking about the fundamentals of meditation script writing. Okay, so if you ever wanted to know about meditation and how to do it and the role that script writing plays in that process, then definitely tomorrow and the next several Fridays after that, you want to be at the Powhatan Hill Community Center in Richmond, Virginia, and that's 5051 Northampton Street, and that's off Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia, 23231. Everybody, I just want to say thank you. You know, I do these shows for you and for me because I benefit so much from my guests. I listen and I go back and I listen again, and I'm always trying to tweak and get better with my not only just my spiritual journey, but eating right. I mean, I'm not all the way where I want to be. You know, it's a process. But these shows can save your life. They can really save your life. And so I try to bring people to you like Dr. Ruby Lathan, again, who cured herself of thyroid cancer. If you missed the outset, go back and listen to the show again. You'll hear her powerful testimony how she cured herself of thyroid cancer. And other shows like Brother Coy Dunstan, who cured his mother of cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon. The health tip, we have another special guest who comes on once a month, Dr. Ted Watkins, who graduated from Howard University School of Medicine in 1977, and God called him out of that. And now he's a holistic health physician. A regular comes on once a month. By the way, before I forget, Dr. Lathan mentioned fasting. She did a show on fasting. Okay, if you're interested in learning more about fasting, then scroll down the archives. You'll see the show, The Benefits of Fasting, with Dr. Ruby Lathan. Okay, and again, I encourage you to check out the veggie chest. You actually, you've wanted to know how do I make this transition. I've heard about eating right, but I don't know how to make the transition. Well, check out the veggie chest. She'll show you, take you by the hand, show you how to juice certain things. Sometimes we need that visual. You know, it's one thing to read a cookbook, but sometimes we need to actually look at somebody visually, lay our eyes on them, and watch them do what they do, and then we can incorporate those things into our life. And for those who are on the spiritual path, then we've got shows for you too. Okay, we've got all kinds of shows. I mean, we've done shows on the winter solstice, the summer equinox, you name it. We've done shows with Dr. Raoul Nefer. I'm in, and I want to encourage a book. I always encourage people to get this book. It's called Stress Free for Life. Manage stress and it will hurt you, might even kill you. That's the title of the book, Stress Free for Life. Manage stress and it will hurt you, might even kill you. Sounds odd? Well, let me break it down for you. His point is that managing stress is not the way to go. You want to eliminate stress. You don't want to manage it because, I mean, stress is a killer, right? I mean, you're trying to get rid of HS and cancer and other things. You don't need any stress in your life. So get the book. It's by Raoul Nefer Amen. That's R-A, capital U-N, capital N-E-F-E-R, Amen. Raoul Nefer Amen. Okay, we've also done shows with Orwahehi Meturan Comet on different aspects of comedic spirituality, the seven divisions of the spirit, the 11 laws of God. I mean, we've done shows on Qigong. I mean, we've done shows with, again, Hekshem Suheru Shekhameyam Neter. We've done shows with Shekhem Tep Rahim Sa'ah. I mean, we've done shows, if you're into music, we've got shows with Melba Moore. We've got shows with gosh, so many people we've talked to. It'll come back to me before I say goodbye. what's the sister's name? The song with Patti LaBelle and LaBelle. Sarah Dash, Queen Sarah Dash. Yes, we've got shows with Sarah Dash in the archives. I mean, Queen Afua is in the archives. We've got shows with, I mean, Luke Gossett Jr. is in the archives. I mean, we've got shows with so many people, and I just encourage you to scroll down the archives and see what interests you. And please share these links with people that you know. Everybody knows somebody that's ill. And even if they don't have, say, hidradenitis suppurativa, They might have cancer. They might have diabetes. They may have high blood pressure. They may have gout. They may have just had a stroke. They may have had any one of these conditions, all of which could be assisted by changing your diet to a live it. Okay? Change your diet. Get it? Die it to a live it. Get it? Got it. Good. Well, my name is Juwanza, everybody. Again, you will never know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you. And I really, really thank you so much for tuning in. So until the next time, everybody, who am I? I am the one who in giving receives more. Who are you? Peace and blessings.